It's important, I think, that what God has shown me, and I hopefully this is what somebody needs here tonight. But we're going to be talking about David and the giant. If you've been in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you're probably wondering, this is not the chapter about Goliath. And that's because it's not about Goliath. Yes, David did kill Goliath. But there was a giant that he didn't kill, and it caused all kinds of problems.
Yes.
The giant's name was laziness. Most of the time, we don't picture David as lazy. We see him as a strong, valiant warrior that depended on God. And that's true, at least for a period of time. When you think of David, you tend to think David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Or David and
Bathsheba.
I think it's important that we recognize and dig a little bit to find out what led up to David's sin with Bathsheba. People rarely make big life-altering decisions that ruin their life until after making several smaller decisions that lead up to that big, bad decision.
Yes.
We normally don't make that big, bad decision just all at once. Something leads up to that. So here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we're going to read the first couple of verses, and it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that tonight you'd illuminate your word into our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would show us what we need to see. Lord, I ask that you would help us to make change where we need to make change and not to walk out like we walked in.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would help me to say only what I should so that I accurately deliver your message to your people. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Notice in verse 1 that it says that when kings go forth to battle, David tarried in Jerusalem. Mm. David had the authority to go to battle or not.
Right.
Everybody knew that. No one would question him or get on to him for not going. But it was clear that that's the time that kings go forth to battle. In fact, David did most of the time. This time he didn't.
Yeah.
That was a bad choice. It wasn't the big bad choice, but it was a bad choice. But just because no one would question David or get on to him didn't make it right. By the way, this helps us to see the great importance of deliberately making ourselves a accountable to someone. David had no fear of anyone questioning him about going to battle. That's a problem. We need to feel accountable to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're accountable to God. But we tend to forget that He's watching sometimes.
Yeah.
So that person that we're accountable to, we should expect them to question us.
Amen. Yeah.
If you don't have that person, find that person.
Amen.
David should have been in the battlefield, not relaxing in his plush castle at this time. There was a battle going on. David, being the leader of the nation, the king, should have been there.
Yes.
By the way, this wasn't the first time he did this.
Mm.
If you go back a chapter, verse 10, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men." Now, prior to this, David always went out to battle. But he had slid into some type of a lazy mentality. Just before this incident with Bathsheba. If you look through chapter 10, you'll also notice that David never inquired of God one time about the battle with the Ammonites. Nor here in chapter 11. There was something else that he had gotten lazy about, and that was his walk with the Lord. If you look through the story of David, you'll find that David was constantly asking God, "God, should I go to battle here?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to be with me? Are you going to give me the victory?"
Right.
He did this over and over and over. Here, he didn't. In chapter 10 nor 11. I believe that David had gotten lazy in his walk with God long before he saw Bathsheba. His laziness in his spiritual life also affected his physical duties. That's why he chose not to go with his troops to battle.
Yeah.
Matthew Henry said, "When we are out of the way of our duty, we are in the way of temptation."
That's good.
When you are supposed to be working and you're not, whatever you're doing is not going to be a good thing. Satan knows when we are idle. You ever heard the statement, "Idleness is the devil's workshop"? Now, those particular words are not in the Bible like that, but it's true. When we drift into laziness in our walk with God, we also tend to be lazy about other things as well. They're connected. Brother Bruce, I'm not lazy in my walk with Jesus. I read my Bible every day and pray. Recently, I've had the opportunity to try to help a couple that is struggling. And they're out west. And the guy, the husband, writes a devotional type of a thought from God's Word every single day and sends it out to over 50 people. yet is divorcing his wife. Would you say that he is lazy in his Bible study? Probably not. I think sometimes we read our Bibles for this wrong reason.
Amen, brother. Amen.
It's supposed to be a mirror.
Yeah.
Not a club.
Yeah.
We don't study our Bibles to give them something.
Mm.
Although that's not a bad thing to do.
Mm.
In fact, sometimes it's needed. But the real purpose of God's Word is to be a mirror.
Yes, sir.
To me, I read
right.
my Bible so that I learn what God wants me to see in me.
Yes.
Remember, we're all a working progress.
Yes, amen.
So every time I read my Bible, God wants me to see something that I need to change. There's plenty of that.
Mm. Yes.
So this guy who's divorcing his wife, he reads his Bible and studies it daily and puts together a really good devotional thought. Very good thought. But he's not seeing it in himself. Like most of us, it's real easy for us to see their problem while blinded to our own.
True.
That's our problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read our Bibles, people come up in our minds, well, I wish they could see this.
Mm.
Maybe I need to tell them about it.
Mm.
And maybe you do, as long as you follow God's formula with that.
Mm.
And He gives that to us. I think it's in Galatians. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that means ye which walk with God,
mm-hmm.
considering thyself,
mm.
lest thou also be tempted. In other words, he's saying, go in the spirit of humility, not, let me tell you something that I've noticed. I can help you.
Mm.
That's not the right spirit. I've been there. I've tried that. That backfires.
Mm-hmm.
No, what I need to do is I need to look at myself, get the beam out of my eye first. Then I can be qualified to go talk to that person.
Mm.
Pride causes blindness.
Yes, sir.
So that we don't see our sin.
Mm.
Even while reading our Bibles.
Yeah.
So we get lazy and blinded, and so we continue to study our Bibles, maybe, or read our Bibles. We even pray, and we pray for those sick people and the government and all these other people and never say, God, show me my sin.
Mm.
Help me to see it. Give me the ability to turn away from it. The power to just say no. Help me to change.
Yes.
To be what you want me to be. I believe that's what happened to David. He finally became king after years of running for his life. He had several great victories as the king of Israel. Pride set in. He could relax. He thought. Things are going well. No need to spend so much time on my knees. If you follow the story where he was running from Saul, David prayed a lot.
Yeah, amen.
Difficulty will cause us to do that.
Amen.
Prosperity won't.
Right.
Ease of life won't.
Mm.
You ever wondered why the problems you have are there? Might be to just draw us back to Him.
True.
Because when things are going well, we tend to get lazy. We tend to do the same things that we've been doing, but not for the right reason. We get lazy. I'm sure you've probably been there. I have. You wake up late. You're in a hurry. You got to drop something from your normal routine so that you can be at work on time. Then it happens. You neglect your time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And you didn't die from it.
Mm. Right.
So then tomorrow it's even easier to make that decision. I didn't crash and burn, so apparently it's not that important as I thought it was. Things are good. I've got money in the bank to pay the bills. Everything's trucking along like it ought to. We forget that we even need God. We don't say that out loud. Might not even think it in our minds, but somehow we've drifted into that mindset. We've become lazy.
Right.
That might not be your story. It may be that Satan reels you in with a different lure. Yet we all have found ourselves on a destructive path of laziness to keep our walk with God fervent. Fervent. That word means on fire, smoking hot. In other words, God doesn't like lukewarmness.
Right.
Where are you at? Maybe we caught this problem before we crashed and burned. Maybe we didn't. David didn't. In fact, it happened again. Look over in chapter 12. Verse 26. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, by the way, Joab's a little aggravated by this time. He's tired of going out to battle and David sitting back at the house on the couch. Verse 27, and Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. David's still doing it. He didn't learn his lesson. This was immediately following the incident with Bathsheba. Turn over another chapter, chapter 13, verse 21. This lazy mentality is lingering with David. Verse 21 says, but when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. What was he mad about? He was mad because he found out that his son Amnon had raped his half-sister. But the Bible doesn't give us any indication that David did anything about it. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, a real big deal. In fact, it led to another problem.
Yeah.
Look in verse 37, same chapter. But Absalom fled and went to Talmah, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. This happened right after Absalom killed Amnon for raping his sister.
Yeah.
The Bible says Absalom fled. What did David do? He mourned for him. Why did he mourn? I don't think it was because of his love for Absalom. I think it was because of his awareness that it was his fault. He has been going down a destructive path. And it was one bad thing after the next that just kept happening. But you know what? David didn't do anything about Absalom killing Amnon either. It doesn't end there. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, Absalom finally came back after 3 years of being gone. He steals the hearts of Israel in a deliberate way to eventually take the kingdom from David. David knew of it and did nothing about it.
Yeah.
This laziness streak lasted a long time with David and caused a lot of problems. And they seem to got worse and worse. Why? Because that's the direction that Satan wants to take us. Total destruction. In the beginning, it's not total destruction in our minds. I only missed my Bible reading one day. I didn't crash and burn from it. But what does it lead to? If you stay on that path, you can expect to have some serious problems just like David had. Neglecting or ignoring our responsibilities doesn't cause them to dissipate. It causes the problem to only get worse and worse. We've got to deal with our responsibilities. We've got to deal with the issues that we're facing. We have to stay on the right path in our walk with God. All these things are important. They're connected. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but what I'm trying to say is this. When I'm not studying my Bible, I'm being lazy about that, it's very likely I'm probably not going to take care of my other responsibilities either.
True.
I'm going to neglect them. Ignore them. Almost with this crazy mindset that it's just going to get better or go away, and that doesn't happen. It didn't happen with David. He ignored it. Look what happened. Yes, David killed Goliath, but he didn't mortify the flesh. The desire for comfort. I'm not saying comfort is bad. But when we choose comfort over our responsibility, it is.
Yeah.
We're the most comfortable we've ever been. Yet we desire more. This is what I would suggest. Rekindle the fire of a fervent walk with Jesus. Is your walk with Jesus fervent? If it's not, you're already on that path.
Yeah.
That destructive path. That laziness takes us down. And Satan wants that. It's his plan. The second thing I'd suggest that you do is Study your Bible to find what God has for you, not them. And when the Holy Spirit tells you, you need to change that, then change that. Pray for God to open your eyes to your sin and then repent. That's our biggest need. Yes, we need to pray for the people in our circle who are suffering physically. They desperately need our prayers.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to pray for that financial need. Now, that's a big deal. Our biggest deal, our biggest need is to pray that God will open our eyes to our sin. Remember, it's difficult for us to see that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if we don't deliberately ask God for help to see that, we never will.
Yeah.
And we'll get on that path of destruction. And things are going to start crashing and burning around us. And we may not even understand why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't. It kept happening.
Mm-hmm.
And kept happening. If it could happen to him,
mm-hmm,
it could probably happen to you or me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Rekindle that fire with Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for showing us what we need. Lord, I pray that you would help me to see my sin. Help me to learn to hate my sin as much as I hate others. Lord, help me to change. Help me to repent. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 2 Samuel 7.